Joining me now on the phone is Democratic Deputy Majority Leader of the Illinois House, State Representative Lou Lang from Skokie. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. Happy to be with you.
We've been talking a lot about, obviously, we're coming to the closing days of the scheduled closing days of the spring legislative session, and talking a lot about the issue of the budget. And we just spoke with Republican State Representative Dan Brady, and I get a sense of perhaps more optimism than I can recall for the last several years, that we actually appear to be working toward a resolution on the budget. I was wondering what your take on that is.
I think that's true. You may recall that we went over 2 years without a budget. The governor refused to lead us to the table. And last year, we had about 15 House Republicans who said enough is enough, and they joined Democrats in the House to get a budget accomplished. And then many of them joined with us to override the governor's veto of that budget. And so that was a breakthrough, to the point where people are now talking real well together, at least legislators are. There's, of course, separate meetings going on involving the four legislative leaders and the governor. I'm actually not so sure those meetings are going so well. The governor seems very disengaged in the process, despite his public comments. I do believe we'll have a budget, because legislators want to have one, and we're going to put one on the governor's desk.
Well, and that, you kind of went to a point I was curious about, where that seems to be the major question is, where is the governor? Does he politically want a budget in this re-election year?
You know, he's done some curious things over the last 3.5 years, so it's pretty hard to predict, but my view is that if he signs a budget, he's got nothing to complain about, so I don't expect him to sign it, frankly. It would be good if he did. If he doesn't, he's liable to get overridden, as he did last year. Legislators believe it's in the best interest of the state of Illinois to have a budget. I think the people of the state of Illinois believe that as well. The governor went, he's now gone 3.5 years without being engaged in the process. It's time for him to do that. And it's not too late for him to do that. He can be involved, and he can sign a budget that we can all agree to if he gets to the table and is willing to do his job.
But knowing, as you point out, with the belief that, you know, if he vetoes it, it would be overridden, is it in his interest to sign a budget?
It didn't seem to bother him last time that he was overridden. He's got a political posture. The polls would indicate that he's in serious trouble for his reelection. And because of that, he's going to do what's ever in his best political interest, not what's ever in the best political interest of the people of Illinois.
Well, in dealing with the negotiations, the budgeteers talking, those kinds of things, and that optimism, I get a sense from all parties in the legislature that they just don't want to relive relive the times of the impasse and the what it did to higher ed, what it did to the social service safety net, those kinds of things. That seems a motivating factor, particularly as we all know this is an election year.
Well, it certainly is a motivating factor. You know, people on both sides of the aisle, even though we couldn't get our act together, certainly understood that those first 2 years without a budget were not a positive for the state of Illinois in any way you can think of. And we know that despite the fact that we have many problems ahead of us in the present and future of Illinois, getting a budget accomplished last year moved the state forward. That's all you can hope to do, is make progress and move the state forward. And if we go without a budget this year, we'll return to those dark days. So legislators want to make sure we have a budget, and that's why you're getting all these positive reports from legislators regarding the direction of these budget negotiations.
And we also have the backdrop, too, that if we were to go into impasse, perhaps something that would last past the July 1st start of the budget year, we're going into junk bond status.
Well, that could easily happen, and because of that, It's cost the state of Illinois tens of millions of dollars in extra interest, and we can't afford to waste a single dollar in the state of Illinois, let alone tens of millions, due to the stubbornness of a governor that doesn't just want to do his job correctly.
One of the other things, and I brought this up with Representative Brady, too, was the issue of, here with Memorial Day, the Quincy Veterans Home and the capital funding to rebuild that. And we had the governor come in and on May 16th with an appropriations bill seeking $246 million to rebuild Quincy. And I got the sense, and he wanted it to move as a separate standalone bill, and I got the sense that from, particularly as I said before, Senate President John Cullerton, that it should be part of a comprehensive budget agreement, not as a separate kind of bill. As the Senate President said, we need a complete budget because you need to pay the people that work at the Quincy Veterans Home, and that's also part of what's going on. I was wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on particularly as it comes to Quincy and also to a capital budget.
If people aren't fully aware of that story at the Quincy Veterans Home, people died because of the water in the pipes in that facility. And the governor and his people bumbled the commentary afterwards and the restoration and the remediation of that home. This has been going on for months and months and months. So the governor coming to the legislature with his hair on fire 2 weeks before the end of the scheduled session, when he had all session to deal with this, says a lot about his attitude about all of this. He could have come to us months ago. He could have had a special session of the legislature. He could have done lots of things months and months and months ago to deal with this problem. So now here we are at the end of session. We could pass a separate bill to deal with this. But even if we do, it still has to be part of the budget discussions. Whatever we do, we still have to pay for. So whether it's a separate bill or whether it's wrapped into the final budget, at this point is almost irrelevant. What is relevant is that we have to fix that problem. And if the governor's not willing to do it with us, we'll just have to do it for him.
We're speaking with Deputy Majority Leader, State Representative Lou Lang, Democrat from Skokie. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Democratic State Representative Lou Lang from Skokie, Deputy House Majority Leader. We're talking about the scheduled end Thursday of the spring legislative session. We've been talking a lot about budgetary issues, but Representative Lang, I'm curious about where things are moving as far as the spate of bills and the governor's rewrite of bills involving anti-crime initiatives and things like a 72-hour waiting period for gun purchases and the governor's proposal as well to try and reinstitute the death penalty in Illinois. Where do those things stand, and are we likely just to not see anything?
Rick, these things are flying all over the place. As you know, when the governor issued his amendatory veto on other bills that were on his desk, he was really all over the place. He pandered to the left. He pandered to the right. He actually violated the Constitution by rewriting bills, which he is not allowed to do with his amendatory veto power. And so these have been broken down into smaller pieces, and there's debate going on. There are subject matter hearings going on, and there may or may not be votes on these things. I can tell you that there's a very strong level of disdain for the governor trying to reinstitute the death penalty in the state of Illinois. So he picked out some particularly heinous things, and he said, well, we should have a death penalty for those. Well, that's kind of pandering to people, I think. what the governor did was political, plain and simple. He wasn't trying to improve public policy. He wasn't trying to make the world a better place. He was trying to do something that he felt was good for his reelection.
Well, I was curious as far as the death penalty about, and the governor saying that reinstituting it for the death of a law enforcement officer or in the case of the murders of two or more people, but using the standard of beyond all doubt, which I'm not familiar with that. You're a lawyer. Maybe you are. I've never heard that as a legal standard or one that would survive any kind of scrutiny.
I've heard the phrase, but I haven't heard it in any legal way from legal scholars. Maybe someone's using it. I didn't use it or hear about it when I went to law school. Beyond all doubt is just a phrase that the governor is using to try to put a line between what he would call especially outrageous situations, terrorism, the death of a police officer, and other deaths. So I'm not quite sure why the murder of a police officer is deserves a greater punishment than the murder of a postal worker or a plumber or a teacher or anybody else. And I think we have to be very careful as we go down that road. There are certainly discussions going on in the House and Senate regarding what the governor proposed, and those discussions will be ongoing. But I'm certainly not convinced yet that what the governor did is the right thing to do.
And, you know, obviously we've kind of litigated this issue in Illinois before, and with the history of wrongful convictions, there's a lot of unease about trying to bring the death penalty back in the state.
Well, aside from all the discussion over the years about whether the death penalty is moral or immoral, we have a long series of people on death row or put to death in the history of Illinois that were later found to be innocent. We cannot execute innocent people. And so that's why the governor uses the term all doubt. He doesn't know. Nobody knows what that term means or how to get there or what the legal standard for that is. And so to just make up a phrase and to create law when you're the governor, when you don't have the right to do that under the Constitution, and to do it in a political way that gets people all excited and all exercised when we ought to have responsible, rational conversation about criminal justice reform in the state of Illinois seems to me to be the wrong way to go.
In the closing minutes that we have, I want to ask you, and I touched on this subject earlier this morning with Amanda Vinicky, the issue of the Equal Rights Amendment as a part of the U.S. Constitution. And I said to her that this brought back a lot of memories because 1982, which was the original ratification deadline, that was my first session covering Springfield as a reporter. And it seems like sometimes everything old is new again when it comes to Springfield. Where are we as far as that proposal in the Illinois House?
As many know, Rick, I'm the sponsor of this and have been for some period of time. I've been trying to pass this for 25 years. And people, like you say, long before I was in the legislature, trying to pass it as well. This has already passed the Senate. Let me remind people that we already have equal rights language for women in our Illinois Constitution. Men and women have equal rights in the Illinois Constitution. All this amendment is trying to do is put women in the United States Constitution. Justices Ginsburg and, when he was alive, Justice Scalia, as far apart as you can be in the political spectrum, both commented that women are not protected under the United States Constitution. In fact, the only place women are mentioned in the United States Constitution is the right to vote. So women have the right to vote in the Constitution, but there's a lot of rights they don't have because they're not mentioned in the Constitution. We're a few votes short, but we're working on them. And I don't know why we should be short votes. This is the year 2018. for people to say that women aren't due their rights, the same rights men are under the United States Constitution, is simply appalling. And so we're going to work on this and try to make it happen. And if Illinois can pass this, we'll need one more state to put women in the United States Constitution.
That's Democratic State Representative Lou Lang from Skokie, Deputy Majority Leader of the Illinois House. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Have a great holiday, Rick, and to all the listeners.